going to continue in our series of How Big Is God? And I want to share with you something I found on Wikipedia, that is. And that could be correct or that could be wrong. You know, sometimes people jokingly say, well, it's on the internet, it's got to be true. But I read that there are at least 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. Did you catch that? There are at least 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. Also went on to make the statement, HD1, letter H, letter D as in David, 1, is the most distant known object from the earth. It's reported as, get this, 33.4 billion light years away. You know, you get past the, you get up to a million, I'm like, I'm scratching my head. But when it says 33.4 billion light years away. Now just think about that. I mean, that even if I just stopped right there and said, how big y'all think God is? Because he made all that. You'd say, but he's big. But we're going to look at a couple passages. One passage in particular. But I want to start at Psalm 103 verse 11. So if you turn to Psalm 103 verse 11. We're talking about, this is part 11 of How Big Is God? I know some of you are deeply disappointed that I don't have my Hot Wheels track out tonight. Psalm 103, verse 11, how big is God? But this is an analogy here. It talks about God's love for us or mercy toward us. Listen to this verse. I hope you have your Bible. If not, listen very closely. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth. How high is that? Well, you say, well, the heavens are here. But if you look at far off heaven, what did I say again? 33.4 billion? So as, for as the heaven is high above the earth, that's high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, the idea there is mercy or love. Aren't you thankful? It's kind of giving you a scale or a magnitude, if you will, of God's love and mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but I, for one, am very thankful that his love and mercy is immense. As far as the heavens are above the earth. Now, some might try to minimalize that and say, well, the heavens are just close. When I think of heavens, I think of them all together, don't you? Now, I could be wrong on that, but I think the idea is, now, light years away. You turn on your flashlight, and that beam would take it 33.4 billion years for that to get there. Just think about that. What's that? There's a major what?
Major fall, the universe is only 6,000 years old.
Yeah, I started reading something. You got to be careful what you read. I started reading something. I thought it was a biblical devotional, and I read it, and it said something like 13.8 billion years ago or something. I'm like, huh? No, the earth is about 6,000 years old. The flood explains a lot. When they dig down and they get all these different strata and they say, oh, look at the earth is... No, you look at what a flood could do over a whole year, and that explains an awful lot about why they date our universe in the wrong way. When God says in the beginning, that means in the beginning. And when it says he created, that's when he started creating, and that's been about 6,000 years ago if you look at all the generations. So, God's love is immense. I just kind of wanted to throw that in to give you a little attaboy or attagirl. Okay, does that encourage you? I mean, just think about how big that means God's love for us and his mercy for us is. And God's mercy is not a temporary thing. God's mercy will extend throughout all of eternity. But along that same line, as far as the heavens are above the earth, Isaiah 55, that's where we're going to spend our time tonight. Isaiah 55, we'll spend at least a little bit of time. I know it would probably amaze you. You may fall out of your seat if I actually had a brief devotion or sermon. We'll see. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I know you've heard of this, but we're on the subject primarily tonight is how big is God? And can I tell you, are you ready for this? He's a whole lot bigger than me. And he's a whole lot bigger than you. All right? So hopefully you can keep that in mind. Look at these two verses. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now he's talking to mankind, right? Isaiah in particular. My thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. For at, here it is again, not only is God's mercy and love to us as big as the distance between earth and the heavens, 33.4 billion light years away, that's big. God's bigness or greatness is so much bigger than ours. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, this is not rocket science, but it's hard sometimes for we as humans to believe that anything is bigger than my brain. It's hard for us to believe sometimes. You know, we even use the expression, well, they're a big feeling somebody. You know, people that come into a room and it's like, and they act like they know everything. It's like, okay then. What, you know, oh, great one. You feel like bowing at their feet sometimes, right? And it's like, okay, oh, great. These people need to get this. And you say, well, okay, yeah, I'm not one of those big feeling kind of people. Well, have you ever been in a situation that God told you to do something and you said no because you thought better? Have you ever been called to do a ministry for God and you said no because you thought you knew better? Or you knew exactly what God's will was, but you said no because you thought you were bigger maybe? Now, in the scope of life, when things come up, I really mean this, I'm glad that man is not the measure of things. I'm glad that God is the measure of things. And I'm glad that I serve a God who's that big. Because if he's that big, he can take care of me. He can keep me throughout all eternity. Again, I am so thankful that he's not some little wimpy God. We treat him like a wimpy God. We treat him like he's about this big. Really, we do. Don't tell me we don't. Even in our churches, even our conservative churches, even our biblical churches, many times, we treat God like he's that big. And we get all worried and upset about the stupidest things. Really, we do. But we don't have to do that. Because God is immense. Let's dig into this a little bit. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. First of all, point number one. You ready for this? This is brilliant. It took me hours and hours to come up with point number one. Are you ready? God's thoughts are not equal to our thoughts. Isn't that profound? You know, I'm pretty good at math, being an engineer and had a lot of math. I enjoy math. It never came very difficult for me, actually, I have to say, and that's all because of God. But I even put my little equal sign with a slash through it. That made me feel good. I got to use my engineering training and my math training. God's thoughts are not equal to our thoughts. God's thoughts are not equal to our thoughts. Any implications of that? I'm going to ask y'all. Would y'all respond? What does that mean? I mean, okay, big whoopee deal, preacher. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. He does not think the way we do. I'm thankful that he doesn't think the way I think. Aren't you? And I'm surely thankful he doesn't think the way y'all think. Sometimes. I'm joking. Sort of. Okay. But what does God think like? What does that mean? How do you think God thinks? Okay, it's a perfect way of thinking, right? Does he get caught up on some little stupid point? No. Why? Because he sees the whole picture, right? So it's not like we just think through some whatever situation we're looking at right now. And really, God is so big, it's instantaneous. I mean, we get a big computer, right? Like, is this thing's running at
so many gigahertz, megahertz, and this hertz and all that. It's like, yeah, this is a fast computer. Look at it. I'll put this in and boom, there it shows.
I mean, God doesn't even take that long. I mean, God's thoughts in his way of thinking is so far above ours. And then it goes on, point number one. Remember, this took hours and hours and many, 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 many hours of thinking about these points. First, God's thoughts not equal to our thoughts. Second, our ways are not God's ways, not equal to. I did that little symbol again and put the, God's ways, our ways, that is, are not God's ways. Now, he flips the order there. That's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if there's any significance of that. But he starts out with God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And he says our ways are not God's ways, or man's ways are not God's ways. Any significance to that? Any significance to that? I don't know about you, but I figure most of us sin sometime today. You reckon? Isaiah was still in the flesh, right? And God was talking to fleshly man, right? So someday we're going to be perfect. I know that's hard to figure. You're looking up here looking at the preacher and said, I just don't think so, preacher. I don't think you'll ever make it. But every one of us is going to be perfect, right? But right now, guess what? Our ways are not God's ways. We are sinful human beings. You know, God doesn't have, there's not one little blemish on God's record. Nothing that he's ever done has been wrong. And you say, well, what about this and what about that? What about, remember we spent a lot of time talking about that. And really, I'm not saying this is the perfect answer, but this is a pretty good answer. We live as sinners in a sinful world. And the only way that God could prevent a lot of these, now God can do anything, but he'd have to make us puppets or robots or just be a complete dictator that does everything to keep sinfulness and bad things from happening. He's not the author of those bad things, but he allows those bad things to play out. And it's because we live as sinners in a sinful world. If you keep that in mind, I know that it's not a perfect answer, but that's a pretty good answer. So our ways are not God's ways. So God's thoughts are not our thoughts. How much bigger is his thoughts than ours? Our ways are not God's ways. How much bigger is his ways than ours? Point number three. God's ways are higher than our ways. So it is, first of all, says that they're not equal, right? God's ways, God's thoughts are not equal to our ways and our thoughts. But then it goes on in the second verse, or verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So it kind of establishes the point in verse 8 that we don't think like God does many times, as humans will not many times. Really, the more we get to know God and get to know his word, our thoughts ought to line up more and more with his thoughts. Do you agree with that? And our ways do not line up with God's ways, but they should more and more as we mature in our walk with God. Y'all agree with that? But then he just lays it out there and makes us all feel pretty human here. It says, first of all, that God's ways are higher than our ways. Just think about that. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Let me say it again. The furthest reported object, and there's probably many objects even way beyond that, 33.4 billion light years away. So God's ways are that much higher than my ways. Point number four, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How much more? As far as the heavens are higher than the earth. I don't want you to go home and say, well, the preacher said we're all a bunch of idiots. No, that's not the point. We're not, if we follow God. Now, if we don't follow God's way, I'd say we pretty much fit into the category of idiots. But when we try to do it God's ways, y'all agree with this? But really, the big point is not so much how low we are, but how big God is. I really think that's the point that I want to drive home. Now, if we keep letting ourselves get in the way of God's ways, we need to figure out that I'm not God, and you're not God,
and you need to get out of the way of God's will and way. You figure? Yeah, absolutely. Because God's ways are right. So in perspective, fine. Okay, God, it's your way. I'm reminded of that verse. I figure you get tired of me quoting this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's the part there. And lean not unto thine own understanding. If you want to put it in there in the context of this verse, how big is our understanding? Oh, about this high. Right? So, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your understanding, because the Lord's ways are way up there. The Lord's thoughts are way up there. So if he tells you to do it, do it. And guess what? He'll direct your paths. So maybe tonight, in this part 11 of How Big Is God, I want you just to get in your brain. At nights, you know, we have some beautiful nights, right? I'm more moved by a starlit night than many things. Really, I love looking up at the sky and seeing all the stars. I don't know if you knew this or not, but my goal as an eighth grader, we had to write a little paper on what we thought we wanted to be. Some of you say, I wish you was with your telescope way in the recesses of some mountain somewhere. Because I said I was going to be an astronomer. An astronomer. Now, that's the right study of the stars. Now, astrology is when you try to, you know, that's messing with all the evil parts, right? But astronomy, you know, with my huge telescope, and from what I gather, you know, we had to say, you know, how many hours they worked, the best I remember, and, you know, how much money they made and all that. So some of you say, preacher, I wish you'd have taken that route instead of what you're doing. That's all right. But as you look at the sky and you think about how big God is, I want you to think of something. I want you to look at those stars. And those stars are still far, 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 far away, but not near as far as 33.4 billion light years away. But they're still way out there. I want you to be reminded of how big God is. Because you have some God-sized problems in your life. Right? I have some God-sized problems in my life. And it's like, God, you know, I'm just about to hear. How am I going to handle that? The answer is, I can't. I can't deal with it. I can't fix it. I can't make it right. I can't heal the boo-boo. All I can do is say, God, you're big. So, again, how big is God? He's huge. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how big God is. So as a memory prompt, I want you to remember this. As a memory prompt, when you see a starlit night, I want you just to think, boy, God is big. God is big. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, you read my brain tonight? I got a God-sized problem. No, I don't read anybody's brain. I know of some problems that different ones of us have, but I do know a God who's big enough to handle it, though. Would you take just a moment and turn over your God-sized problem to a huge God, a God whose ways and thoughts are so far above us, as far as the heavens are above the earth? Would you just brag on him a little bit and tell him how glad and proud you are of God, and how thankful you are that he's such a big God? And would you tell him, because he can, to take care of that problem that you got, to take care of that situation you got in the silence of the moment? Would you do that? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your ways, your thoughts, Lord, are indeed not our thoughts or our ways. We thank you that your thoughts and your ways are so far above ours. As far as the heavens are above the earth. And Lord, as such, we just pray that you'll take care of whatever the problems are that people may be sharing from their hearts right now. And Lord, the problems in my life, Lord, just take care of them because you're a God who can. Lord, we ask for your perfect will in these situations. And we, Lord, we just praise you and thank you and honor you for being that kind of God. Such a big God. And in Jesus' name we pray.